You're listening to East Leeds Community Radio.
Music.
Writing.
Reviews.
Debate.
Comedy.
Plays. Live events.
Interviews.
Quizzes.
Sports.
Chatting.
Food.
Poetry.
Open mics.
Freedom to create.
From the people to the people.
It's radio, but so much more.
East Leeds Community Radio.
Welcome to Vandal Factory, episode 16.
This is a very special bonus podcast, you lucky little Vandal Raptors, you. And in this episode, we are going to hear from CJ from Black Lodge Press. What is Black Lodge Press, Henry?
So Black Lodge Press produce beautiful artwork and stickers and T-shirts and baby clothes.
Really?
Yes, lovely baby clothes. With an anarchist slant. So the artwork is bold and brilliant and in your face, aggressive, sometimes a little bit sly.
And I've got them... two posters at the top of my stairs now and one in my greenhouse.
And I give lots of these stickers to all the kids I work with and tell them not to say that I gave them to them so that I don't get in trouble. CJ is also a musician and played in a band called Kinky, who I used to put on a few times in the 2010s. So we're going to hear a song by Kinky first. All their songs are like a minute long. So enjoy this blast of queer hardcore punk. I'm queer, fuck you!
So, hello, I'm CJ, and I run Black Lodge Press.
Yeah, this is it.
It's all right. It's
like, it's quite dark, but like, you know, it's like a bit like a little cave.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So for the listener then, we've got a series of cool T-shirts.
Yep.
All lined up. And the art, is that like blank up there, or is that printed on?
That's printed on, yeah. It's all, to be honest, I never used to be organised, but I found that it actually makes life a bit easier. Rather than like ratcheting through like boxes of shite trying to find like a medium T-shirt or a particular print, if you just kind of get everything laid out...
You could pay someone thousands.
Oh my god!
To do that.
Like, what's she called? Marie Kondo.
Yeah.
It's been a revelation. So, yeah, it's nice.
Can you tell us about some of the artwork that isn't yours? Why you've got it in your?
Yeah, I've got like a big poster saying, "I didn't go to work today. I don't think I'll go to work tomorrow. Let's take control of our lives and live for pleasure, not pain." It's like a classic anarchist poster from the 80s, I think.
Do you sometimes walk in and look at it and go, yeah, I'm not going to go to work today
yeah.
And turn, walk back out of your office?
Definitely, yeah. I just love the fact that, you know, it is like, I guess this is like my little workspace, but, you know, it's up to me when I work and if I don't work, and, like, not having a boss is fucking lush. I don't think I could go back to not, you know, before having a boss and stuff. I'm too much of a contrary fucker, I think. And just, yeah, that authority, I've had like a natural regression, no, a natural rejection, I think, to it. So, yeah, it's nice to have no bosses. What else have I got? I've got a can't cheat karma, which is laid over a photo of Mark Kennedy. He was a spy cop in Leeds, a total scumbag copper, who, basically destroyed the lives of loads of people in Leeds and elsewhere. So that's a really cool poster that my friend Kathleen made. And I've just got loads of shite everywhere, haven't I? Oh, I've got the best... this is this little thing here. It was a a flyer that Cherry from Synchronized Witches Press, which was like a kind of feminist scene press. I don't think she's still doing it, but she did it for quite a while, maybe about 10 years ago. And this was a flyer that she had on a table at a zine fair, like, I don't know, 15 years ago. And I picked it up and I read it and I was like, oh my God, yes. And it says, freedom of the press is guaranteed only to those who control one. Destroy borders, disseminate information, self-publish. And I was like, yes. So that's like, that's my philosophy in terms of everything I do now, is that little flyer that I picked up at a zine fest made by Cherry. So thank you, Cherry, because it's class.
Well, let's talk about that then. So let's talk about your origins.
Okay.
So in terms of like visual artwork, do you remember the first art or images or animation that made you excited?
Yeah, actually I do. I remember the exact bit of art that got me so excited and got me like thinking about hating the police and like radical politics and everything. And I probably saw it when I was maybe like 8 years old. And it's for anybody that's like a Prodigy fan, it's the inside cover of the CD booklet of the Prodigy's Jilted Generation. Is it that one? Yeah, it's that one, Jilted Generation. Because I've got a sister who's like a lot older than me. She's like 15 years older than me. So she got me into loads of, you know, music and all that kind of stuff. And through that, I got into radical politics. So like, you know, bands like The Prodigy, she was really into. And then she got me really into Rage Against the Machine. And so from there, you know, it kind of like spiraled and stuff. But yeah, that artwork, it's this amazing. I don't know who painted it, but it's like I guess it's like an oil painting, and it's you've got like a kind of canyon, and on one side there's like this dark clouds of industry, and there's like all the police and the judges, and then you've got like a kind of drawstring bridge crossing over the canyon, and on the other side of the canyon you've got this like sunny scene, and it's all the kind of ravers and new age travelers and anarchists and, you know, all those kind of people, and then there's like a guy in the middle with like a big knife, and he's cutting the bridge so that the coppers can't get over to the other side, and he's like giving them the finger at the same time. And it's like, I remember seeing that and I was just like, fuck. So that is like, that's the origin. That's the origin story right there.
That's the radioactive spider bite for you. There's like, I think going into like gig venues, squat scenes, there's images are such like a massive part of that, whether that's graffiti or artwork. Yeah. Was that where you were cutting your teeth? Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. And I guess like, you know, I grew up in West Cumbria, so like there wasn't a massive punk scene, but going to gigs, like, you know, like the local Civic Hall, like Whitehaven Civic Hall, like we used to do like punk shows on Friday nights. So me and my friends used to go there and like discovering, you know, you'd buy a ticket and you wouldn't have a clue who the band was. And you couldn't, I don't think we had the internet. Did we have the internet? Maybe a little bit, but not so much. And so you couldn't really look up who they were either. So like, I remember going to see bands like Cap Down, and I remember seeing like Random Hand on their like first tour, Million Dead, all those kind of like UK punk bands. I guess they'd be like DIY to some extent as well. A lot of like ska punk at that time as well, like, you know, like bands like Cap Down and stuff like that, Lightyear.
Is it sort of towards the end of Household Name Records?
Yeah, exactly.
Era,
Household Name Records, exactly. Yeah.
Thank you.
And then, so you'd like discover these bands, and like, a lot of them had like radical politics, and there'd be like zines and stuff at the shows, and like that was like a revelation to me, like seeing a zine. And I guess like moving further on from that, like kind of exploring particularly like European anarchist culture, so going to like Berlin and Barcelona and Madrid and Hamburg and going to like staying in squats and going to protests abroad, and just seeing like that amazing street level anarchist culture that's like so embedded within like certain neighborhoods, like, you know, like in Copenhagen, like Kopi Squat, not Kopi Squat, that's in Berlin. It's what the squat in Copenhagen that I never know how to pronounce the name of. It's like Ungdomsmanet. It's like youth house in English, but it has like the most incredible history, and like they have like, it's still going as well. Like they have like hardcore festivals and, you know, different festivals every year and stuff. But all the artwork that was attached to that, and the graffiti and everything, and I guess like the riot porn that you'd see at the time as well. So like, I remember like in the early 2000s, like the kind of like big like summer jaunt would be to go to like the G8 summits and like have a riot. That was like the thing. Like you used to do. That
Bye, mum and dad. I'm off to have a riot.
You didn't go to Malaga. You didn't go to COS. You went to like, you know, Rostock or Glen Eagles or wherever, or Copenhagen or something. And like all the kind of artwork and the kind of, just the kind of, I don't know, the all the kind of ephemera that you pick up from those places. It was just like so exciting. And like, I remember like, I guess it would be the Glen Eagles G8 up in Scotland. I think I was maybe like 16 and I couldn't get up there. I couldn't get up to Glen Eagles because I just couldn't sort out transport because I was, you know, 16 and I was supposed to be in school and stuff. But I did manage to get a free bus going from my little town in West Cumbria up to Edinburgh for the Make Poverty History March. And generally speaking, it was like, you know, like everybody wore white. They all had Make Poverty History signs. It was all quite like gentle and stuff. But there was like a hardcore group of anarchists there as well. And that was like my first kind of encounter with anarchists and like European anarchists. And I remember being on the march and just like so happened that like in front of us there was this like big group of like I think they were maybe like Italian or Spanish like anarchists, and they'd all got these, you know, like you go to protests and there's like the awful like SWP always give out protest placards and stuff, like all these anarchists.
And their visual designs are awful,
and
right?
Awful, and it's just like everywhere, and it's just like who? How do they get the money to print all these like placards? It's bonkers. But anyway, like all these anarchists had got like all these placards, nicked them off the SWP fuckers, and ripped the actual placards off, and so they just had sticks. And some of them had like put like little stickers on which said like Black Block on like on the end of the stick, and I was like, what is, like, what does this mean? And then we were kind of marching along, and there was like a, we came to like a corner of the march, and there was like a really big kind of group of police just on the corner, and then suddenly like the anarchists just like ran at the police with these like sticks from the placards and just started hitting the police, and I was like, oh my god. Like had my like young teenage brain like kind of blown a bit, and it was just like the most exciting thing I'd ever seen in my life. So from there I was just like, yeah, like anarchy's fun.
And well, that's a little phrase to go around.
Yeah, I think that
like so much of like anarchist artwork is so visceral. Like I've in my head, there's the 80s especially with like zines and fanzines, but also there's the Tintin.
Oh yeah,
but it's Tintin Bites Back.
Yeah, I've got it on the toilet. Yeah, I'm not in the toilet, but you know, like next to the toilet.
There's, because it's so simple, but there's one where he's getting a Molotov cocktail or a brick, and he's like, oh my god, I can't believe we're fucking doing it. That's like the we're actually doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Well, we'll talk a little bit about your artwork in a sec and that dynamic style. But yeah. chronologically, we're here at 16, but we're about the same age. And what's around the corner is the coalition government. I just wonder, what are your reflections on? Did that change the game? Did that change how you saw things? And did that change? Were there any music or images that you think of those like early days of, right, okay, anti-austerity time?
Yeah, I mean, I guess how old would I? I think I probably would have been about, well, 2010, wasn't it, that it came mm-hmm. that came into power? So I'd have been 22, would I? Yeah, 22. And you know, by that time, I think I'd lost my nerve a little bit. I spent like the best part of, you know, like my teenage years and my early 20s. Kind of doing as much as I could in terms of direct action and, like, you know, going to G8 summits or G20 protests and, you know, all those kind of things, and no border camps. Used to go like abroad to no border camps and all those kind of things. And I think I had an experience at the G20 protest actually in London, which I think was maybe the year before, 2009. And I got quite badly beaten by a copper. And it made me a bit scared, which is a bit shit. But I remember, like, we all got kettled for hours and hours and hours, like, by the Bank of England. And the cops kept charging at people and, like, just, like, you know, beating the shit out of people for no reason. And me and some friends were just, like, literally sat on the curb. And without warning, these cops just started, you know, with truncheons pulled, just came in and started, like, cracking us over the head. And, you know, I didn't have to go to hospital, but, like, I was really, really kind of shaken up by it. And then the same night, Ian Tomlinson, who's like a newspaper seller walking home, he got murdered by a police officer. And they lied about it, like they always do. And they got away with it, like they always do. So I think that experience, and, like, the same summer, I went to a No Borders camp in France and, again, had bad experiences with police. So by the time that 2010 rolled around, I was a bit like, I did go to some of the big protests in London and stuff, but I didn't quite have that confidence that I had before, if you know what I mean. I remember, like, those early days of, like, just that feeling of kind of like that Tintin, like, we're fucking doing it. Like, I remember, like, because I lived in Newcastle for years and years, like, going on big, big, like, anti-cuts marches in Newcastle, and, like, you know, these were like protests that you'd never seen the size of that before in Newcastle, and they were like pretty militant as well. Like, we weren't, you know, marching from A to B, we were like just marching where we wanted to go, like marching on the fucking roundabout and stuff like that. And there was like protests every week, there was a lot of stuff happening. I remember, like, one protest, it must have been like the middle of winter or something, but it was like, it was quite heavy snow, and everybody was just like throwing snowballs at the cops, and it was just like the most fun thing in the world. So that time, like, it sticks in my mind as being like both exciting, but also, like, I had a feeling like, oh fuck, I'm like, I'm a bit scared now because I'm going to get beat by the police again. So I think that was maybe the start of me slightly calming down a little bit. And I think that's probably where my art comes in. I feel like, you know, I've got like a kid now. I live in the fucking middle of nowhere. I'm in my mid-30s. I can't. Well, I can and I should. But I feel like I maybe can't commit the direct action that I would like to anymore, or like take those chances with, you know, having a daughter and stuff. So probably the reason I do the artwork is largely as a means of contributing something to a anarchist or radical movement in a way that means I'm not going to get like my head smashed in by a copper or something like that anymore.
Well, I'd like to talk about this beautiful artwork. So there's a lovely tray right here of stickers.
A little sticker tray.
Scum of the fucking earth.
With the Conservative logo.
The Working Class Strikes Back. No Reform for a Murderous System. Burnt to the fucking ground.
These are all the Raji stickers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do have, like, you know, more genteel artwork.
The, like, growing gardens.
Yeah. I'd say, like, maybe, like,
75% is like radgy as fuck, and then 25% is like, oh, you could put this up in your mum's kitchen or something and it would be all right. Like, so, they wouldn't notice. Yeah. They'd not quite like yeah. it.
There's like some phrases that bounce around the decades, right? Stuff like fight war, not wars.
Yeah, yeah.
No war, but the class war.
Yeah, yeah.
Where do you pluck out these phrases? Are they yours? Do you borrow them? Do you tweet them? Do you have...
Really? Yeah, some of them are mine. I mean, yeah, like the garden one, growing a garden is a radical and beautiful act. That's just one I was thinking in my head. Quite a few are my own. Others are often taken from like protest banners. No apologies, no assimilation. That's like from a really cool. Maybe it was an ACT UP banner in the 80s or 90s at Pride in New York. Really in your face, like queer banner. So some of them are taken from, yeah, like protest banners, or I'll sometimes take quotes as well. Trying to think like a good quote. Oh, well, I did one recently, which is, it's actually taken from a lyric by Propagandhi, the band. And it says, better lives have been lived in the margins, lost to the gallows and locked in the prisons, than have ever been enshrined in palaces. I think that's how it is. So that's like a kind of a direct quote from Propagandhi. I feel like I don't want to be cliche, so like I feel like it has to have some kind of like element of my own voice to it, if you know what I mean. And usually that involves swearing. So like that one is like quite a good example, like no reform for a murderous system, burn it to the fucking ground. So that's just one that I've made up myself. But that little fuck in there, it just adds a little je ne sais quoi.
CJ tag.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then
what's the process then as an artist? Are you a visual? You're thinking about an image and you're looking for a phrase to go with it, or is it the phrase that will dictate the? So just for the listener, we've got a big smiley face next to "Destroy the ruling class." No nations, no borders is like sort of a landscape. Looks like a moon, and then "Destroy fascism." It's a drag queen. Yeah, I can't remember
divine.
Her divine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So yeah, is it obviously they're symbiotic, but.
Yeah, so I the images are either images that I've kind of made myself, like textures, so like, you know, using ink and kind of making physical textures and stuff, or it's old photographs that I've found in like old magazines, or like, you know, from like archives on the internet that are like copyright free, so like old, I guess like National Library archives and stuff. Or like things that I've hand drawn as well sometimes. Usually I'll come up with the kind of the text first, and then I'll dictate the kind of images around it. Like they don't necessarily have to have a connection as such. It's sometimes just like a very vague connection. And sometimes it's probably only a connection that I can see in my own head rather than anybody else. But sometimes there are very direct correlations with stuff like, yeah, like the save the planet, destroy the ruling class, let's turn all those billionaires into compost, that little thing there. I wanted to make like a really cutesy one. Mm. So it's got like the sun with a big smiley happy face, and it's got like the green, green grass and, you know, all that kind of nice stuff. But then it's just that little cheeky bit at the end, let's turn all those billionaires into compost, you know, something a little bit violent, but... Doesn't sound it because it's cheeky.
I love there's sometimes a clash like of images. So I'm wearing some Martha merchandise did. Yeah. And like, so there's a really intense, like hardcore metally skull with a snake crawling through it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's just like patterns.
Yeah.
Like almost that I always, when I say to people I'm into a band called Martha, there's always a little bit of like, that's a weird name for a band. I'm like, I think a bit like Chumbawamba, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
And I think the clash of different images on some of your artwork, like, yeah, again, like, goes, there's meaning here because there's, yeah, a statement, but it's not as obvious
with that one, because I mean, you've got like the little bit of, it says drain the blood from every diamond on this, yeah, damp and hateful island, and you've got the little kind of references to diamonds and stuff with the kind of what they call like polyhedron kind of shapes and stuff, and then you've also got Martha, I was chatting to Nathan about like the artwork and stuff, and he was like, oh, if we could have like just like maybe just like a hint of England within there somewhere. So like this image here, it's actually like red roses. You probably wouldn't be able to tell because it's in black and white, but it's actually red roses, you know, like the rose of England and all that kind of stuff. So it's just like a little hint of stuff. But yeah, I mean, it's sometimes it's random, sometimes it's connected. It's kind of just like the visual, what works visually, really.
And this artwork, it's gone all over the world, right? So sometimes, I mean, I can't be the only one, but like, I'll sometimes text you, be like, I've just seen, like, there's a clip, there was one in, I think it was North America, maybe Canada, and there was like a cool shop, and there was like loads of, it looked a little bit like too cool for school, but there was lots of your artwork there, and festivals, you'll see people. I saw someone with a t-shirt on, and we just was like, oh, that's a Black Lodge. Let's, like, are you like, well, of course, Henry, that's my business plan. Of course it's all over,
No, it's mint. I love it. Yeah. It's funny. Like, I used to live in York, and, this was quite, maybe like a couple of years ago, and I'd made some of the Destroy Fascism t-shirts, and somebody in York had bought one, and I'd posted it off. I didn't really think too closely about where they lived, but they actually live like in my neighborhood. So I shouldn't have posted it. I kind of wasted my money there a bit, but anyway. So like one Saturday I went to like the local bakery at the end of my street, and this person was like wearing my like t-shirt outside the bakery, and I was like, oh, that's my t-shirt, I made that. And they were like, what the fuck? Like, why are you here? And I was like, oh, I live here. And they were like, what? So it was like this really funny moment where like, it's like, oh yeah, I do actually, like, you know, like I live in a house, and I go and like buy like bread on a Saturday morning and stuff. But it was like, it was kind of weird to like come into contact with somebody that was like a fan of the stuff and like lived like, you know, like around the corner from my house and stuff. But yeah, like I've been to gigs and stuff and seen people wearing t-shirts, or, you know, like I went to Bristol recently and like saw my posters in like random windows and stuff, which is like, I mean, Bristol, like I think like most of the posters I make, most of them go to Bristol, because Bristol's absolutely class. But yeah, it was lush. Yeah. And it is lush. Yeah. And like I do, you know, I've got like a separate website where you can download a lot of the, posters as like high res PDFs, so people can like just print them off themselves. And so I often get like tagged in a lot of people that have printed off the posters or made them into stickers or made them into like big posters, and then like, you know, wheat paste them or sticker them, and it's in like, I don't know, like Melbourne or like somewhere in like North America or wherever. And that's like, oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah,
is that worth saying that that's some anarchist principles in there of going like, if you want the artwork, you just you can have it.
Yeah I mean, it is a weird kind of balancing act, you know, in the fact that I don't have a job anymore, so I'm trying to make a living off my art, which is, you know, there's elements of it like being anti-capitalist. There's elements of that which are a little bit uncomfortable sometimes. But it's about keeping that balance. So I'll have all my artwork available for download. So if somebody wants it, they can have it. If they want like a risograph print that I've done and I've signed, then they can, you know, spend a tenner and get that, which is, you know, that's cheap for like a big A3 risograph print. But it's enough for me to make a kind of a living from it, if you know what I mean. I'd say with the t-shirts as well. And yeah, it's I do like a lot of like kind of solidarity prints as well, so yeah, I recently had like 100 prints made, and I sent 50 of them off to Bristol Anarchist Black Cross, and they're selling them themselves for £10 each. So if they sell all those, then they'll get 500 quid, and that money goes directly to supporting people in prison from the Kill the Bill protests and riots a couple of years back. So yeah, it's like a balancing act in which you can, you know, have your artwork out there freely available. You can have it making good funds for like really decent causes, but you can also pay the bills with it as well, I guess. Yeah.
Some I used to go to all the, you know, the old zine fairs, and yeah, and I'd just pick up random ones just for the sake of it, or go on like Etsy and just there'd be like 50p a pound.
Yeah, yeah.
Even, and I learned a lot about, you know, politics through that way, but I also would pick up like ones about Star Trek and ones about roller derby.
Yeah, yeah.
But I went to the York one, we bumped into each other there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought actually everything was a lot more precious and expensive. Okay, and I didn't want to take a punt on it because it was a tenner or it was 15 quid. Yeah, yeah, but it was much more like carefully, beautifully handled.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I left, I don't think I really bought anything.
Yeah.
And I used to leave with like a big old bag full of like quick zines to flick through about like Black Magic or May Day or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was chatting to someone later about it and they were like, it's because like, and I used to make zines and sell them 50p, but I never cover the costs.
Yeah,
and actually,
yeah,
I was like, oh, people want it to be a very special thing. Maybe in this day and age of Instagram and TikTok, you want something that's really nice and beautiful that people put their soul in.
Yeah.
Yeah, bespoke rather than, you know, quickly printed off at work secretly when the boss isn't looking photocopied and used in the staples. I just wondered if to reflect on, do you feel like the zines and artwork in the more DIY sense has changed a little bit from being sort of disposable?
I think there has been a definite shift. And I think, it's probably to do with people using Instagram instead of, you know, making art and putting art on Instagram and not necessarily feeling that they need to make a zine. Because that kind of DIY approach to zines is how it was like an obsession that I had when like kind of 18, 19, I just got obsessed with it. And like, I'd make like a zine a week on like all sorts of random stuff, like one on like militant anti-fascism. And then like, I remember like I made another one, which was like, I like would overhear conversations on the bus and I'd like draw people on the bus. And then I'd like try and think about like, oh, like where they're going, what they're up to and all this kind of stuff. So like really random stuff. Or like poetry zines or personal zines and stuff. And
it's worth saying as well, like this is now, you know, a main thing you do, but you've done some really beautiful ones about a lovely bear in the woods, like ones about your family and growing up and old houses. So you've this is very much like Raji anarchism, but you've done some very, in my opinion, very beautiful, reflective things.
Loads of stuff. Yeah. And like when I started doing it, it was all photocopied, and like if I think back, like the amount of like time, the amount of time I spent like making zines, and I didn't even sell them. Like I would like take them and just drop them off like random places around Newcastle, like Star and Shadow, like Social Space, and like record shops and like cafes and stuff. I would just leave them like randomly scattered around the city, and like thinking back, it's like, why was I doing that? What was wrong with me? But like, it's just like, I used to see zines as like, and I still do, as like, almost like a way of, if you've got something to say, or if you've got some art that you want to present, you don't need to go down the route of publishing, or you don't need to go down the route of like finding a gallery or a represent, like somebody to represent you. It's all like DIY. You can all do it yourself, which is like so powerful. And I've always felt like that with zines and comics and everything, like, and everything in life. Like I've never felt like I need to have supervision or permission from somebody else to make something. I think that probably goes back to like my dad and how my dad was. Like he just did whatever the fuck he wanted all the time. But that DIY sense is like so important to zines. And yeah, I don't know, there has been like a definite shift. Like I've noticed that there aren't as many zine festivals, and I've noticed that when I go, like I mean, you do always get the kind of, you'll get like art students who like, you know, take 6 photographs of like a council estate and then sell it for like 15 quid as a zine. And it's like, fuck off. Like, that's not a zine. That's just like a kind of a shitty art book. Like, it's not the same. Like, there's no real politics or real DIY sense behind that. It's just you trying to make a quick book on something that's something that's hot at the moment or whatever. It's just, I hate that kind of stuff. Yeah, actually saying that, Glasgow Zine Festival is tomorrow, and that's one of the best in the country.
But you're not going to be there, are you?
No, it's my daughter's birthday. So I'm missing it. So
I thought you were going to something in London.
Oh no, that is tomorrow. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, it's Wednesday today. Tomorrow is Thursday, and tomorrow the Zine Fest is on Saturday, and my daughter's birthday is on Saturday. But tomorrow is Thursday, and tomorrow I'm going to see Bruce Springsteen.
Oh boy!
Speaking of
Z's, I wanted to flag that. Like, I knew that Bruce Springsteen was an artist, and yeah, we'd all heard Born in the USA.
Yeah.
But you were the first person my age I met who was like, yeah, Bruce Springsteen's mint. And I do remember being like, what? But yeah, CJ's into like good music. Like, what? What is this? And and there was something in the youth where I was like, and then a few other people like our age was like, yeah, I'm really into The Boss. I was like, and it clicked.
Like
one day I remember I was at Edinburgh Fringe Festival, and I remember going, I fancy, does that song about like I don't know, running? So I went and got like a best of, or I can't remember, maybe Born to Run, and the album he did about Wrecking Ball, about the financial crash. Yeah. And I was like, okay, I get this. So you've done a zine about Bruce's butt.
I did, yeah. I mean, that's, yeah.
It's tongue-in-cheek,
right? It's tongue-in-cheek. Yeah. I mean, I do love Bruce. He is like, I love his music. Kind of part nostalgia, but part because it's just amazing music. Like particularly like stuff he did in the 70s and early 80s. It's just like unbelievably good. And that era of Bruce, like talking like 75 to 85, he is like the sexiest man on earth at that time. Like, you know, hands down, like definite gay experience when I was a kid. You know, seeing Bruce, like my mum and dad were like massive Bruce fans. So like seeing, I think my mum had like a poster of Born in the USA in our like basement at home. And I was like, what's this? Who is this arse? This is amazing. And yeah, so like definite early queer experience seeing Bruce Springsteen and listening to his music. But then I was doing a gig with Kinky, a band I used to play in, and we played a gig in London at, what was it called? Power Lunches, I think it was called. It was like a queer DIY space years ago back in London. And there was like upstairs, there was like a bit of a little mini zine fair, and downstairs there were bands playing. And somebody called Holly Cassio was upstairs, and she had a little zine stall, and all, or pretty much most of her zines were about Bruce Springsteen. And this was before I did my Bruce Butt one.
Bruce Spring zine?
Bruce Spring zine. I know, exactly, yeah.
Oh,
and I remember like seeing these zines, and I was like, oh my God, like somebody else is like obsessed with Bruce in the same way that I am. And it was like, you know, like, I don't know. Gonna say like when like masons, like stonemasons, see each other and they have like a secret handshake or something. I need to do that with Bruce Springsteen fans. But yeah, I remember like chatting to Holly, and then other, you know, it turned out that me and Holly have like loads of friends in common, and like we've become like friends since then. And but I bought like the Bruce Spring zines that she had, and I was like, fuck, this is incredible. And so from there, like that's what inspired me to make the Butt Springsteen. So it's just, it's a very daft zine. it's probably like the zine I've sold most at zine fairs because it's so daft. But it's drawings that I've done of Bruce Springsteen's arse, clothed arse, throughout the eons, throughout the ages, going from, you know, his first album at the start of the '70s, right into, you know, his most recent stuff. And I give his arse a rating out of 10, for every age of Bruce, but as a spoiler, they do get 10 out of 10. That's for every age.
Just to say then, obviously music, a big part, like we don't need to talk about music career because that's separate podcast. Yeah. I just wondered, do you listen to music when you're making? Does that inspire you? Yeah. Or do you need to have your own?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah. I kind of shift between, like, you know, like really genteel, like nice piano music, like very chilled stuff. Stuff like Mountain Man, which is like lush, like three-piece kind of harmony American trio, and like female trio who are amazing. And then like other days I'll just be like, want to just listen to like Raj, so like, yeah, Propaganda or Bad Breeding, Piss Jeans, Fucked Up, like all these bands that are like I'm really into at the moment. So like, I'll just hammer stuff when I'm making stuff. And obviously, like, you know, the kind of the correlation between like punk and my artwork, or like anarchist punk, you know, like Crass for me were like a massive, massive influence, like particularly the artwork of Crass, and like the art of like G Voucher, who was like the kind of artist in residence almost of like the Crass. And was like, I'm kind of, because Crass weren't necessarily just a band, they were like a collective as such of artists, and she was like a really prominent part. And so, yeah, I remember getting like some Crass records, car boot sale, like I'm a car boot sale obsessive, but I remember like finding some Crass records at a car boot sale when I was like 16, and then like you open them up and they're like enormous posters, like the kind of sleeves, they fold out, and it's just like the most unbelievable like artwork. It's so like in your face and visceral, and like the, you know, like the kind of the text that's used is just amazing. And like, yeah, it's really kind of disturbing at the same time, but it's so incredible. And yeah, G Voucher is like without a doubt like one of the best British artists of the last century. She's just incredible. So yeah, all that kind of that, all that correlation between like radical music and radical art is like a massive component of it all. And I think, you know, like when I started Black Lodge Press, some friends of mine were doing like DIY record labels, like JC, my evil twin from Martha up in Durham. He was like doing Discount Horse Records, and like other people I knew were doing other like just like mini record labels and stuff like that, and putting out really good stuff. And I kind of wanted in on the action. I wanted to have that power of the press, like, you know, that freedom to like put out whatever you wanted. But I just didn't have the knowledge of records or like how to get records made. But I did know how to do zines, and I've been doing that for a long time. So it kind of started more as a press for publishing my own stuff and publishing other people's stuff, particularly zines and comics. But it's just kind of morphed over the years, and now it's like a more just a kind of print project for my own stuff, but yeah, you know, it might change again in like a few years time, and might be something totally different. I don't know, we'll see where it goes. Yeah.
That's proper beautiful. I'm just gonna play Nats.
Hi CJ, thank you so much for doing this interview for Vandal Factory. I'm sorry I can't be there in person. My question is about my favourite image of yours that I've got at the top of my stairs outside my bedroom window. I look at it every day, and on it says, "We are not in the least afraid of ruins." And I love this image, this print so much. And for me, it's It reminds me of a book that we've talked about on the Vandal Factory podcast before that's called At Work in the Ruins by Dougal Hine. And in it, he talks about how we've been born into the end of a world, not the world, but our world, and how the so-called grown-ups or the people in power, their projections of the future just don't make sense anymore because they're based upon images of capitalism or the system of capitalism and absolute greed. And we know that those things are going to collapse and that one way or another, the systems that we are used to are going to crumble. And that's difficult to live in a time that's ending. And that's what this poster reminds me of, is to be brave in those moments, and it's okay to find it difficult, but out of those ruins will grow green shoots and hope will grow. And on a personal note, it reminds me to be that it's okay to find things difficult when they're ending. But it can give me strength that we're not in the least bit afraid of things ending, because stuff needs to end in order for it to get better. So my question, I guess, is what was your inspiration behind making this print? And if you could tell everyone home about the images that are on it, that would be amazing. Thank you so much.
Well, yeah, it's actually it's probably my favorite print that I've made, that is that one, and I've actually got it on my wall. It's like right next to me here.
I will say CJ has quite a lot of his own artwork on the wall.
Well, yeah, I guess I've got a few. Yeah,
it's all right.
There's so much that I could unpack with that quote. Originally it comes from a Spanish Civil War fighter, an anarchist and trade unionist, whose long name I'm going to forget, but Buenaventura is his surname. And the full quote is, we're not in the least afraid of ruins. We carry a new world here in our hearts. It's growing. Oh, it's the full quote. It's growing larger every day or something like that. Yeah. And, there's so much I could unpack with it. when I made it, I just watched a video of the riots in Chile, in Santiago, and there was a really beautiful video created, and it's two people both wearing balaclavas or kind of t-shirts made into balaclavas, and there's chaos surrounding them. There's fires, there's police running around, there's people setting off fire extinguishers at police and all this kind of stuff. So, you know, there's chaos and there's destruction around them. And these two people are doing the most intimate and kind of sensual tango in the middle of the street. And there's a little bit of music playing. And, but there's this just this incredible, the imagery of it is just incredible. These two masked anarchists dancing in the streets while the city around them burns, and it was so romantic. But I instantly thought of that quote, that kind of Spanish Civil War quote when I saw that, and for me it's there is, you know, I could use another quote. I could say a new world from the shadow of the old, or from destruction becomes creation, and things like this. You know, there's so much beauty in destroying something that's so rotten, and there's so much fearlessness in the people that do it, because, you know, the world is absurd. It's completely absurd. And I often think this all the time. I'm this is just fucking ridiculous. This is a fucking joke.
Someone should sort this out.
Yeah. But it's all just a fucking, everything's a fucking scam, innit? You know, money is a scam, and laws are a scam, government is a scam, everything is everything's a nonsense, religion, everything. Like, it's all just like, it's all people creating, you know, structures and hierarchies around themselves to kind of correlate and fit to their own rules and ways of being and own prejudices and own discriminations. It's all a scam. And so for me, it's a complete rejection of that. And it's about, you know, destroying all those kind of things that either oppress us, whether that's like economic systems or, you know, physical things in the world or police forces or anything like that. It's about destroying that and just looking at ways in which we can create something, anything that is based on something decent and something like something based around kindness or something based around like community, whatever that means, or something based around like looking out for each other. I haven't read that book. It sounds interesting, but like I do read like quite a bit about, you know, like projections of the future, like the world as we know it is kind of coming to an end. And that's not to kind of sound like a, you know, like one of those like weird preachers on the street. It's like, you know, capitalism is in its kind of dying throes at the moment, and like what comes after it is kind of unknown, but it's kind of exciting as well. As long as we kind of like keep that fearlessness and keep that sense of, you know, we have something in our hearts that we know is right and we know is good. So like, fuck the rest of it. Yeah, it's a good quote. And on the poster, I've got images, I guess, of, I guess kind of that correlates to both of those things, like images of destruction. So like a bomb exploding, I've got like people throwing rocks, but I've also got like, you know, the kind of other side of it, like flowers and like beautiful landscapes or the calmness of water or, you know, chains are going to be broken and stuff. So it all kind of correlates to both aspects of that destruction that brings creation, I guess. And I've got another poster which says, "Over your cities, grass will grow." And I think it kind of relates to that one as well. Like, you know, everything is temporary. Like every empire falls, you know, every government will change. Like we are literally like little dots within like a kind of, you know, a kind of a sea of nothingness. That sounds horrendous, but I've been, you know, like last year, my dad passed away really suddenly, and it kind of made me like really think closely about like life, but also about like questioning all the kind of nonsense that surrounds life and surrounds our everyday lives. And so for me, like that joy that kind of comes with anarchy, is something that's really precious. And it's why I would never want to get myself bogged down in the kind of mechanics of party politics or the mechanics of like the ballot box or, you know, all the minutiae of like all that kind of like policy bullshit, because it's all bullshit and it's all going to come to an end. And let's just fucking go. Let's fucking do it. That's what I'm thinking. You know, life's short, have fun. Anarchy's fun. Let's fucking do it. There you go. I'll have that on a poster.
CJ, thank you so much for your time and inviting me into your lovely little office in your lovely home in the middle of the Yorkshire wilds.
Yeah, in the walls.
Yeah. Is there a song? I mean, we've mentioned a few artists.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll play a couple of bits and pieces. Maybe we'll bust out a Kinky classic.
Oh my god, yeah. Well, they're only about a minute long.
is there a specific song you'd like us to end on?
Yeah,
playing
I was
full?
Thinking.
Well, in honour of Bruce Springsteen, I thought a Springsteen song. But I thought I would go a different route. And, you know, a lot of people have covered Bruce over the years. But one that I really love is the Dancing in the Dark cover by Downtown Boys, who were a fucking incredible band. I saw them in Leeds maybe 5-6 years ago. And then I saw them in Sheffield as well. And they were just so fucking good. And so, like, they just had the energy. They like, you know, you like some bands just like harness an energy in a room. Oh my god, they had that. And Yeah, I'm quite like an emotional person, so like when something's really good, a little tear will just drop on my face. And when they were doing Dancing in the Dark, a little tear just rolled down my cheek because it was so good. So I'll choose that one. I'll choose their cover of Dancing in the Dark by Bruce.